I'm calling this meeting to order now. Thank you all for coming. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like us to take a moment or two to have a silent observance. Think in terms of the folks that you wish to support. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Director Sesania?
Present.
Director Tornatsky?
Here.
Director Womack?
Present.
Vice President Ohilski?
Here.
President Milich?
Here.
Thank you.
Mr. Hanley, would you report out of closed session?
Yes, we did have, including the special meeting and the regular meeting, three closed session items. However, there was no reportable action on any of them.
For the record, I was in attendance at the closed session, although I was not here for the roll call.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to go now to our presentation from Citizens Climate Lobby. Ms. Ripner.
Good evening. My name is Sharon Ripner, and I appreciate very much the opportunity to speak with you this evening. I'm here because I'm quite concerned about global warming. As you probably know, we're already experiencing a great deal of climate disruptive impacts of global warming right here in our county, and these are predicted to grow much worse in the relatively near future. We used to think that this was a problem that was out into the next century or two, but the latest reports show us that within the next 15 to 20 years, we really have to make considerable changes. Because of my concern, I'm an active volunteer with Citizens Climate Lobby, which is a grassroots nonpartisan organization with chapters throughout the United States, including our chapter here in the San Luis Obispo County area, as well as chapters around the world. CCL's sole mission is to create the political will in order to maintain a livable planet. And I'm here tonight to ask your body to help us do this. In order to maintain a livable planet, we must rapidly lower fossil fuel emissions on a worldwide basis. The majority of U.S. economists or world economists recommend that putting a price on carbon is the best way that we could do this. The majority of U.S. economists recommend a market-based approach to such pricing. CCL's research indicates that a revenue-neutral carbon-based carbon fee and dividend program would be the most effective market-based pricing approach possible and has bipartisan support from top economists and policymakers at the national level. Economic studies indicate that our national revenue-neutral carbon fee and dividend program would consistently and rapidly lower our CO2 emissions while protecting and improving our economy. In addition, it would increase jobs, improve health, and save lives, and through its border adjustment provision, would encourage other countries to set a similar pricing program. I know that you've received some information on our program, and I hope that you've had a chance to review it. I have some additional handouts for you at this point, because I'd like you to understand what this program is about. To encourage to encourage us to lower our CO2 emissions, our program would put a price on carbon that would be instituted as far up the production stream as possible. So at the wellhead or at the mine, at the border, if it's imported fossil fuels. And that way, we could assess this fee based upon the amount of CO2 emissions that would be accumulated in the atmosphere when this fossil fuel is burned. At that point in time, after the fee is collected, then we would want to return that money. Not to the government, which would be a growth in government, but to make it revenue neutral so that we could, in fact, return that dividend to the population in equal per-person shares. That would help the people in the United States defray the increased cost that such a fee would put into everything, because fossil fuel touches everything that we do. So to encourage Congress to move forward in a timely and bipartisan manner on getting such a program put into place, CCL launched a nationwide effort to demonstrate support for this program at a grassroots level. This effort entails obtaining endorsements from prominent civic organizations, businesses, and other opinion leaders, and resolutions from local governmental bodies. These endorsements and resolutions urge Congress to take an effective action and move forward on implementing effective legislation, particularly a carbon fee and dividend program such as we propose. In March of 2015, SLO City Council was the first in our jurisdiction to give us such a resolution. Morro Bay City Council gave us a resolution in June of 2016. Over the years, multiple cities and counties across the nation have endorsed this program, and I'm asking you tonight to consider passing a similar resolution. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Questions? All right, seeing none. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment for items not on the agenda? Before you get started, let me, since we have folks here that I don't immediately recognize, I'm going to read the whole spiel about what public comment for items not on the agenda is about. So members of the public may address the board relating to any item of interest within the board's jurisdiction, but not on its agenda today. Public comment and public testimony shall be directed to the board president and shall be addressed to the board of directors as a whole. Please state your name before addressing the board. Each person addressing the Board of Directors shall do so in an orderly and civil manner, and public comment is limited to 3 minutes.
Good evening. My name is Steve Best. It was brought to my attention last week that the county has been having somebody from their Parks and Recreation Department, from their Animal Control Division, to come to Los Osos and advise people that they are going to start issuing tickets for people that are using the park and not having their dogs directly on leash, which is hard for when people are exercising their dogs, having them fetch the ball and play with other dogs in the park. The park is being used by a lot of responsible local residents, and their dogs are well behaved, and the park is being well managed by themselves. Since we don't have a dog park per se, the community center grassy lawn area has been the dog park for Los Osos. And it is not a good situation that the people of Los Osos are going to be kicked out and have an opportunity to be able to have their dogs run on the grassy lawn there in the park. There are a few other grassy areas in this town, such as the schools and so forth, which are inappropriate for dog park and dog usage areas for obvious reasons. And it would be beneficial that the CSD have influence on the county and advise them to not put pressure on the community and enforce the dog leash law. Dog leash law can be interpreted that if a dog is under command, verbal command, and that dog leashes are not necessarily under control or necessary. The dogs need three things: exercise, discipline, and love, not necessarily in that order. And it is important to the community, the health of the community, that people, when they have their dogs, to be able to go out, to be able to have an exercise time with their pet, and to be able to have a opportunity where they can talk with other people in the community and have a social activity. We need to keep our movement on having a dog park moving forward as much as possible, and we need to be having conversations with the county on how we can expedite that. It's very important. I want to be able to say that I am on the newsletter with the CCL, and I support all their programs, and I am running for the CSD, and if I have the opportunity to be able to serve this community, I will be looking at opportunities where I will be able to help this community do all it can, all it can to reduce our carbon emission for this planet. Thank you very much.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I had just a couple of questions about the closed session with regard to the potential litigation. I'm curious if there's a claim that can be made available to the public, something that we can read and become educated about. The other question I have is with regard to the potential purchase of the loop and pump station. That's a funny one because the district owned that property at one time, not so very long ago. But what is the real question in my mind is coming up on Monday, the Los Osos Community Advisory Council's Land Use Committee, which I happen to be a member of, will be looking at a project application from the landowner's name is Elizabeth Kirkby, and the applicant is your district. That is the adjacent property to the loop and pump station. These are two different parcels exactly next to each other on Lupin. So my first question is, you know, this went out in the public before your board had a public discussion about it, this application, and I find that disingenuous to the public. The other thing that I found interesting is that the Lupin property is at issue here too. So I just have a question. Are we doing two projects, or are we going ahead with one and you just had a discussion about the other? I'd like to know more. Lastly, I would like to thank all those involved, including your board, for the work at the community park, changing out the rubber mulch for the fiber material is a win for the community. I thank you very much for that. I look forward to your putting some photographs on your Facebook page. I know they're in the packet, but I think the citizens that were involved should be recognized in that manner in social media. The other thing I'm looking forward to, and that's going to come from you, is the next step where we, the citizens, can help you go to the County Board of Supervisors and ask for reimbursement on behalf of the board, on behalf of the district. All those funds should be recouped because that is their park and that was their project. And again, I thank you all for your involvement.
Good evening. My name is Bob Rice from Los Osos. And I was just going to second you on that. I came up just to give the board appreciation, a special note of appreciation for conversion of the tire bark to the Safer BART. It was a great example of the community coming in, working together to make it feasible. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. I understand it wouldn't have happened for at least another 5 years because of financial reasons. So by getting the community in, having the board approve it, using the Vactor truck and resources, I know people in this room were here. Steve was there. Lou was there a lot. And Renee was an incredible spark plug there. 100% of the time, she kept us all going and moving when it was a lot of hard work. And the other spark plug for actually conceiving and putting the notice out to make it happen. And since it's been completed, I've been taking my grandson there, and I hear a lot of moms saying, wow, this is a great improvement. So it just want to let you know, if there was any question or concern by the board about money and that, it was a good example of people coming together and helping and working together to make a project happen, and that's appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson. Tonight I'm here as the president of People Helping People in Los Osos to announce three things real quick. November 16th and 17th is the People Helping People rummage sale at the community center, which will benefit Needs and Wishes also. That Friday from 12 to 4, Saturday from 9 to 2. November 19th, we start bell ringing season in Los Osos. It's the longest the season can be because Thanksgiving falls so early this year. We have 5 full weeks of shifts to fill. Chuck's down for 5 Saturdays. Saturday? Yeah. 5 Saturdays plus. He'll be filling in when I need a fill-in. Those are two minor things. What I really wanted to talk about tonight is December 8th is the 13th annual Needs and Wishes holiday fundraiser for the homeless. The recipients of the funds raised this year will be the new Prado homeless shelter, which was a dream when we started this event 13 years ago, is now a reality. I sit on the board of 40 Prado, and the building is incredible, but even more incredible is the amount of services that will now be able to be provided from that building compared to what we were able to provide at the old homeless shelter at Maxine Lewis. The other recipients are the Slow North Clinic. We have a representative from there that will be speaking after I'm done. Los Osos Cares, the local group here. That's coordinating services and outreach to the homeless and those in need in the community on a weekly basis. And then the fourth recipient of a small portion of the proceeds will be the People Helping People Portable Shower Project. It's a portable shower trailer that will be at the community center parking lot for the homeless that are being served by the warming station during the winter months and rainy season, so they can get a shower, some clean clothes, and just feel better about themselves. Shower always makes everybody feel better about themselves. 13 years we've put this event on. This year's event will put us over $500,000 raised, with every penny raised going to the recipients. This is a somewhat unique event in the fact that we have no overhead for the event. When you walk in that building on Saturday after that parade, excuse me, everything in the room was donated by somebody. We have a toy store. We always have. Last year we had over 400 toys. They were all purchased by the end of the day. In conjunction with Operation Santa Claus, the fire department here in Los Osos brings their barrels down, and I think the chief's here. I think he might verify. I think we filled 7.5 barrels last year. Very generous community gave to Operation Santa Claus. We also have the silent auction. Last year we had almost 300 silent auction items. We have the gift certificate table, usually in the hundreds of gift certificates. We have our holiday raffle for the children and for adults, wonderful raffle items. We have the kitchen, hamburgers, hot dogs. We also have free cookies, soda, coffee, water. It's an event with no admission. Anyone can come if you just want to come and get in the spirit of the season. It's a great event to attend. We also have great entertainment all day, from the start of it till the end of it. One highlight this year is the Taiko drummers are coming back. They weren't there last year, but they're going to be back, and that's 2 o'clock. And Big Rock Balalaika will be after them, probably around 3 o'clock. We also have the folk dancers. We have Marilyn Miller playing Christmas music on the piano. We have the children's choir from Morro Bay. We have the Los Osos choir under the direction of Colleen Wall. I mean, all day. I mean, it's, if you can't get in the spirit coming to this event, then there's something wrong with you. We also ask if you have coin collections, bring them. We have big 5-gallon jugs to fill with coins. Like I said, every penny from this event goes to the 4 charities. They're all very deserving. Chuck, did I forget anything?
Date and time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. December 8th at the community center. That's a Saturday right after the Christmas parade. Starts at 10. We shut the silent auction down at 6 o'clock, and people can pick up their silent auction items shortly thereafter and all day Saturday. One of the recipients of the event this year is the Slow Nor Clinic. I think this is their 5th or 6th year being one of the recipients, and Rupert Chowans from the clinic, who was instrumental in getting it started, is here. He's one of my heroes, and he just wants to talk a few minutes about what the clinic's been doing and show their appreciation. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Rupert Chowans, and Richard, you're my hero, really, truly. So I always do a lot of public speaking for the NOR Clinic, but I wanted to just ask by a show of hands how many people have heard of the work we do at the NOR Clinic. So, great. That's good, good. So when we started this 8 years ago, nobody had heard of us, so it's heartwarming to see that we're getting the word out. So for those that don't know, it's a completely free medical, eye, dental, and pharmacy for homeless, indigent, and uninsured people in San Luis Obispo. We started in 2011. I started the eye clinic, and Dr. Nora Stani started the medical clinic. We started half day a week. So fast forward, we're now open 6 days a week in San Luis for our medical and eye clinic. We started a free dental clinic a couple of years ago. We're open 5 days a week for a free dental clinic in San Luis. And then about 8 months ago, we started a new free medical clinic in Paso, because a lot of people couldn't make it down to us. So we've really changed a lot in the last 7 years since we've been open. And we are very proud of what we're accomplishing. I wanted to tell you that I went and looked at some numbers today, and just for Los Osos, the NOR Clinic has provided $1,350,000 worth of free medical care in the last 6 years. So it's not a small amount. We had a lot of people, a lot of working poor, a lot of people who just fall between the cracks, basically, come see us, and we don't discriminate. We see anyone and everyone who wants to come. We are very proud of the fact that for every dollar you give us, we can provide $100 worth of free medical care, because we're mostly volunteer. So we're working hard, and our goal for 2019 is 777, where we'd like to be open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. to have access to all the folks at work, because a lot of our patients are working poor. It's a really good clinic. I invite anybody, if they want to come down and take a tour, I'm more than glad to show it to them. But about half our money comes from grants from the county and other places, and about half our money comes from donations. we could not function without people like Richard Margetson and needs and wishes. So we feel like we've given back to Los Osos a lot, but we've also received a lot from this needs and wishes. And it's a really big part of what we do financially, but also just to know that we have this symbiosis, this working relationship with Los Osos. It's I live here. I've lived here a long time. So I'm glad to be able to give some service back to the community. So we're just grateful for Richard. We're grateful for the support. And know that NOR Clinic is here. If you know of people that are uninsured, please tell them to come. Most of our patients haven't seen a doctor for over 10 years. So they come to us with chronic problems. So if you know people who are uninsured, tell them there's a resource for them. And that's all I have. But thank you very much, especially Richard, for the years of support. Just been a big thing. So, thank you.
Any further public comment for items not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on. And thank you very much. Administrative and committee reports. Chief.
Good evening. My name is Greg Alex. I'm the battalion chief for the North Coast Battalion. That includes Los Osos. Excuse me. We haven't met in a couple months, so my report is the agenda items from both September and October. Emergency activity, we've been running about 100 calls a month. That's what we typically run this in the month of between August and September. We ran 112 calls of service. 74 were medical aids, 5 traffic collisions, 8 incidents were report of fires, 2 as hazardous materials, 10 public service assists, and Company 15 was called to cover the station and respond 7 times in the months of August and mid-September. In September through October, bringing us up to date, another 98 calls of service, 71 medical aids, 3 traffic collisions, 3 incidents were reported as fire, 2 hazardous materials spills, and 14 public service assists. And we were called to cover 5 times from the reserve company where they came and covered in behind us. We also, in October, Slow Roast had their burners for their beans catch fire, and we were visited by the owner the next morning to thank us very much for not just spraying and chopping and doing some of the stuff we like to do. And we put very little water in there and saved quite a bit of their product, and so they were very excited about that. Our administration on October 10th, we hired Carrie Ann Young as our newest member of the office staff. She serves as the part-time funded person that does an office tech there between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock. So we're very thrilled to have Carrie on our team, and we are confident that she'll be a great assistance to us. In early September, all 6 of our prospective reserve firefighters all passed their minimum skills. So we'd done the presentation the month before. They go through pretty rigorous training. I yell at them a lot. They run up and down and do the stairs and pull hose. So they got through their minimum requirements, and they are now officially proud members of Company 15. On September 7th, the Medic Rescue, we sold the Medic Rescue 15. We sold it for $25,000. We sold it to the Santa Clara Valley, one of their PCF companies. We had to pay a $2,500 contract fee. We put it in the fire trader, and then they find the highest bidder for us. And so that was a little bit of a long process. We started with a group out of Hawaii, and that didn't work out, and then another group out of the Midwest somewhere, and that didn't work out, and so we were starting to worry that we were asking too much for the vehicle, and then lo and behold, we got the offer we were looking for. So so that's now out of the fire station, and that money will go back into further into the vehicle replacement fund. On September 8th, we provided a standby service for the art show and the lighted boat parade. Got lots of good feedback on that. The guys liked it. They were out looking at all the boats and checking that out. Luckily, no calls of service on that. Nobody had any issues there. September 9th, we participated in the Family Fun Fair with the Grandparents Luncheon at the SBCC. That was provided by the Los Osos Rotary. And the kids from all ages had the opportunity to visit, look at the engine. We do our normal prevention program with them, stop, drop, and roll, and have them look at us in all of our outfits so they understand not to run from us. Safety fair was held on October 6th. Great success this year. We've talked a little bit about it, but we had over 550 people attend. That's the most ever. Lots of great feedback from the community, and we got to teach CPR, we got to talk about fuel reduction, we had lots of opportunity to share our message of safety, the safety house there, how to escape and do that safely. We participated in the Monarch Grove Public Safety Day at the elementary school. Lots of busy months, right? September, October, busy months for us. Trinity Methodist Church, we participated with them. We did standby service for the Area 55 event that's going on at the middle school, and Oktoberfest event in Baywood from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Fire prevention activity. So to report back on weed abatement. Weed abatement, we had we're following up with only two properties. So out of the 3,000 properties that were inspected, I want to say thank you to the community of Los Osos for getting the weed abatement completed. And we're moving forward on those last two, but we were able to get that completed. Outside of that, Seasons of Hope is in full swing. So we're taking food donations at the station anytime. We like 8 to 5, but we're there. You know, if you, for some reason, 1 in the morning cleaning, we'll take it, I guess. Non-perishable, of course. And then the toys, right? So we're doing the toy drive, right? The Operation Santa Claus, which also helps contribute to the season, what Richard's working with. And anyway, so that's my report. Any questions for me? Thank you.
Thank you.
It's hot. It's hot, by the way. And we're hoping for rain. Please hope for rain.
Yes.
Hello, folks. My name is Chad Nicholson. I'm a sergeant with the Sheriff's Coastal Division here, filling in for Commander Manuelli. The last month, 30 days, has been fairly busy for us. We've had 574 calls for service here in the Los Osos area. That's up about 50 or so calls from the previous month. Pretty much all of our calls across the board were escalated over the last 30 days. Our assaults and batteries were up. We had over 50 disturbing the peace calls. We had five burglary calls, which there's a couple incidents I want to speak on in just a moment. We had multiple theft calls. You know, a lot of the thefts that happen, you know, not just in Los Osos, but in the county in general, are a result of people leaving their vehicles or their houses unlocked. So if there's one thing that I can pass on to you folks, it's please lock your vehicles and your residences, because, you know, speaking with a lot of persons that engage in the criminal element, they will say that they call it car shopping, and they'll walk around and they try car doors at night and see what is what's unlocked and what's inside. So please lock all your vehicles. We've had a number of phone scams that have been going around as well. Please don't give out any money to anybody over the phone. A big scam is they'll ask you to go down to the grocery store and purchase like the red dot money cards. That way that you could send the money to them to either bail a family member or somebody like that out of jail. That's not how we operate. That's not, you know, standard protocol. So please don't do that. Be very cognizant of the things you guys post on social media. That's a lot of times where they get some of their information as far as who your family members are and so on and so forth. So just be aware of all of that. A lot of you folks probably saw the press release that we had a few days ago regarding some of the burglaries here in town. We had the Pines Golf Resort was vandalized, and we later determined it was an attempted burglary. The following day, the Kuma Sushi restaurant was burglarized, and then the very following day after that, at about 6:30 in the morning, a patron was coming out of the Starbucks here in Los Osos and saw somebody smash the glass to the Miner's Ace Hardware with a hammer, go inside, come back out wearing all black and a ski mask, got into a dark-colored unregistered Ford SUV and fled the area. Our deputies were able to apprehend that subject down here on Los Osos Valley Road. I do want to give good credit to our deputies, but it's pretty easy when the guy's still wearing the ski mask and when he's driving around. So that was helpful. He did steal the vehicle from, I believe, Henrietta Street here in town, and he was in possession of a deadly weapon as well. So that person was apprehended, as well as the his counterpart that acted with him on the Kuma Sushi burglary. So it's been busy. One of our guys ran some statistics for us the other day. Just our Sheriff's Coastal Division, which is, you know, as you all know, headquartered right here in Los Osos, we've handled about 18,000 calls for service or so far this year. So that's calls for service, traffic stops, you know, actual like engagements with the public. You know, we're a little over 50,000 for the entire county, and our Coast Division actually has the highest numbers right now. So we've been staying busy. So, all right. Any questions?
No, you actually talked to us. I said you talked to us, and you're not taking questions from members of the public right now.
Okay.
However, I wanted to say thank you. I live in Sunset Terrace, and last night's Halloween was great, and part of it was because there was a citizen patrol car going through.
Volunteer patrol,
thank you.
You're welcome.
So it added to the fun.
Yeah, it was a busy night, but we tried to staff it with as much patrol as we could, but it was fairly low key, so it's nice. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Good evening, Madam President, Board of Directors, members of the community of Los Osos. My name is Jose Acosta. I am your Utility Systems Manager here for Los Osos CSD. Tonight I'll be presenting you with two staff reports for the month of August and the month of September from last month's meeting and this month's meeting. We'll start with production numbers for the month of August 2018. We produced approximately 16 million gallons of water from our wells during that month. That equates to an average of about 515,000 gallons per day. This represents a decrease in production from last year by approximately 8.19%. Using the state's formula to calculate the residential capita usage, that comes up to about 69 gallons per day per person, a decrease from 75.2 gallons per person per day in August of 2017. So again, I've been doing this for the last several months, commending the public for conserving water and doing your part on making sure that we're minimizing our effects on the groundwater. Thank you. The next chart shows some production and runtime hours by the well sites. At Palisades, we produce about 3.85 million gallons, 8th Street, 4.92, 10th Street, 4.57, 2.04 from South Bay, and 0.6 from South Bay Upper Well. Again, those are all decreases from the previous years at each site. The runtime hours reflect this as well. And the water billing information. During the month of August, 57% of the service area was billed for approximately 15.22 million gallons of usage, and that equated to approximately $261,000 in revenue. During the month of August, the utility crew performed all required operations and maintenance tasks. The various tasks and facilities maintained are doing daily, weekly, monthly monitoring of water quality, analysis, reporting, for all well sites and throughout the distribution system. They do their monthly meter reading, perform reservoir maintenance and groundskeeping at both reservoir sites and service line upgrades. They repaired some bollards at 1725 El Moro. It seems like someone was driving a little happily down that street and ran into the bollards and took them out, so they had to be replaced. They attended some electrical safety courses and did some chlorine feed pump maintenance at one of our wells at 8th Street. At our drainage facilities, they performed groundskeeping at East Cabrillo Basin and Tierra Basin, and they installed new submersible pump at 16th Street and Paso Robles drainage site. Bay Ridge Drainage Control Room was re-roofed and re-shingled as well there to ensure that that lasts for a long time, for at least another 15 to 20 years, hopefully. The rainfall totals... No rain? as the chief said, it is hot. Let's hope that we get some rain here in the next few months. We really do need it based off of our annual averages. We're sitting at 0.79 inches, and we really need to get up to those 16 to 17 inches just to meet our average. So hopefully we get the rain in the next few months. And that concludes my report for the month of September, the month of August, I apologize. Do I have any questions on that report?
I have a small comment. It's just in the Palisades, it actually shows 5.2% increase. So either there's a typo or the numbers were transposed. 3.85 for 2018 is more than 3.66.
If these numbers are accurate, that is true. That is an increase and not a decrease.
I just noticed it. It's not material. I just bring it up.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the production numbers and report for September of 2018. During the month of September, approximately 14.9 million gallons of water was produced and extracted from our wells, and that equated to a daily average of 498,000 gallons per day. This represents another decrease in production from last year by approximately 15.7%. Using the state's formula again for residential customers, the usage was 66.6 gallons per day per person. Again, that's a decrease from 79.1 gallons per day per person the previous year. And the charts below reflect the usage as decrease from each well site. Let me check them real quick. Yes, they seem to be accurate, and they all show a decrease, and that is also reflected on the electrical numbers as well. During the water billing information, 43% of the service area received bills for approximately 12.4 million gallons usage during the months of July through September 10th. This generated approximately $221,000 in revenue. During the month of September, some of the tasks that were performed were the daily, weekly, monthly water quality sampling analysis and reporting, monthly water meter reading, performing reservoir maintenance and groundskeeping, service line repairs at three locations. I think one of those was a late night call out. The guys went out there, repaired it efficiently, and all returned home safely. Replaced the roofing and siding at the Palisades well site, again, to keep that facility hopefully running for a while and ensuring that everything inside that building stays intact. Performed an extensive clean of South Bay ion exchange facilities. Continued residential meter replacement program and collaborated with staff at Baywood Elementary to plan for the upcoming lead and copper sampling. And update on that, I believe that we have completed the Baywood Elementary lead and copper sampling as of this report. So we'll have those results for that elementary school, and we'll know if we need to proceed with any further sampling or if they satisfactorily passed the sampling. At the drainage facilities, they performed groundskeeping at 14th Street and 6th Street swales for the upcoming rainy season. As well at the drainage facility during this time frame, they replaced the large pump at 16th Street drainage. At 16th Street, we've had some issues before where that pump was oscillating on and off, coming on for 30 seconds every few minutes, turning back off. The small pump wasn't adequate to keep up with the flooding at that intersection. So the pump that was there was oversized. So with staff, we met with our district engineer, staff met on site, did some collaborating, came up with some ways to make sure that the system can run more efficiently. Sorry. We upgraded the smaller pump that's in the basin to ensure that that runs adequate amount of time and actually decrease the size of the other larger pump to ensure that it runs efficiently and not oversized for that facility. Once we get some rain, we'll know exactly how it's operating, and we do some testing with some hydrants of the near the site to ensure that it is functional, so it should be ready to go once the rain season comes. The rainfall totals are down below again. No rain again. One last thing I want to mention is that I was in attendance at the Oktoberfest as well. And I said this when I got here, and I said it a couple months ago. The community is emphatic, and I appreciate the efforts and knowledge that they have regarding our water basin here. I know it's been something that's been an issue for this district for a long time. When I got here, I was given all the information needed, discussing all this with Rob and the BMC information that he provides monthly. We are doing a great job. We are doing our part. There's still a lot of work to do, but the community has a lot of knowledge, a lot of good questions, and I appreciate the interaction that they came to the booth and met with me. It also kept me awake, so I appreciate that as well. People had questions on conservation efforts, water rates, a lot of good questions, had comments regarding the park project, and they want to thank the board, and you've heard it here already, but there were people coming to the booth saying thank you, and they appreciate all the efforts. So that concludes my reports. Do I have any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Locac. Sorry. Can you skip me?
Oh, no.
But you can.
No. No, we can't.
Good evening, Board of Directors and members of the public. I'm Renee Osborne, the General Manager, and I'll be presenting the General Manager's Report for September and October activity. The remainder of the audit was conducted on October 19th, and the auditor was satisfied with the district's organization and updated invoicing procedures. The audit should be ready for draft review at the December meeting, and I did confirm with Adam that he should have it by the December meeting. The utility manager Acosta and I have been working on the removal of the Bay Ridge septic tanks, and a report was presented to both the Utilities Advisory Committee and the Finance Advisory Committee for their review and recommendation to the board. And there's a full report under 12B for board review and discussion. The district currently does not have a policy in place for the disposal of district assets, equipment, excess furniture, and such. There is a draft policy for the board to review under 12C, so that was something we have been working on. The Prop 1 grant for 8th Street Well. The county received 25 project submissions for the Prop 1 grant funds. The county is still processing the grant submissions, and I do not have the project list scoring available yet. They hope to have the list completed by the November meeting, so that's next week. So I looked this morning, and it wasn't there. So hopefully within the next couple of days, we'll see the scoring. The Department of Water Resources has not posted the grant guidelines for the Prop 1 grant process. At the time that I wrote this report, they did not. They have since sent it to me, and it's about 2 inches thick, so I'm reviewing it. We're trying to look for dates and times on invoicing and when we can start, if we were to start a project, when what would be reimbursable. So we're working on that right now, and I'll present that to UAC and then to the board. Stormwater grant for the drainage concept. On February 19th, 2018 of this year, the county sent out a call for stormwater and dry weather capture projects and concepts. The submission deadline was March 2nd. So as you can tell, we had just a few weeks to get something together and turned in. Staff's drainage concept has been approved by the county and ranked number 2 among the other concepts and projects submitted to the county. The concept redirects the stormwater from the outfall lines that currently lead to the bay and the estuary to the county's wastewater plant. Staff will compile a full concept report and submit a project request to the board for their review and input. So we'll start working on that so that you guys can give us direction. Los Osos Low Income Assistance Fund. We have 5 of the 9 applicants' sewer laterals completed. All 5 applicants have chosen to abandon their septic tanks. The remaining 4 applicants have their bids turned in and are in the process of getting their permits and the work sewer laterals done. At the board's request, we have extended the application process to December 31st. At this time, I have been contacted by one resident so far who is making an appointment with Lisa Gonzalez to receive assistance with filling out the application, and I haven't received anything since then. I will have at one time we were going to have a verbal update to the meeting with the Finance Committee, but instead we do have a report that we've added as item 12E so that the board can have a full discussion on this item. So we'll, instead of a verbal, we'll wait for that. Special District Risk Management Authority correspondence. Attached to my report, we received a letter from the SDRMA to advise us that we received a credit $1,530.22 towards our workers' compensation insurance for the 2017-2018 fiscal year, and this credit was distributed among the funds in the 2017-2018 fiscal budget cycle. We also received a no-claim recognition letter for the 2017-2018 fiscal year, and both letters are attached for board review. Regarding the playground rubble chip removal project update, the Los Osos Community Park playground rubber chip removal was a success. Not only did we complete the project on time, we were also under budget. Madonna Construction donated their equipment and some of their operator's time, and so their bill came in at $1,800. Jet Mulch and Mission County Disposal invoices came in at their budgeted costs. We had a few issues during the project implementation, but we had contingency plans in place. The skid steer kept getting stuck in the sand, and so we weren't able to travel to the other side of the park to pick up the rubber chips. We had to use plywood to help with the entrance to the playground after the first day of work. And Steve Best had some plywood available, so we did. We were able to use that, so we didn't have to use any additional district funds for that. So thank you, Steve. And we had the district vac truck ready to go in case we had issues on the north end, and we did. So the vac truck was used. And we have receipts for running this equipment. Plus, we replaced the filter because it hadn't been replaced in a while. And so we charged the park fund, and which totaled $94.22. There was a rain event on Wednesday. We had some rain that Wednesday morning, October 3rd, which was to be the first day that the chips were supposed to be delivered. So instead, Jet Mulch called in advance to let us know that they weren't coming, and so we used that time to do some extra cleanup. So they came on Thursday and said, instead. Madonna Construction worked an extra unexpected half day to assist us with the remaining rubber chip removal, which the district was not charged for. So we were very grateful for that. Had they charged us full cost for all of everything that they did for us, it would have been about $5,000. Same with Mission County Disposal. They donated the majority of their costs. They hauled and disposed of 61.8 tons of rubber chip material. That was 9 roll-offs. If it weren't for their donations, and disposal costs would have been $4,700, and the actual hauling costs would have been about $1,900, we would have paid $6,680 if they would have charged us for everything. Instead, they only charged us $217. I did attach a list of expenses and receipts. The total cost of the rubber chip removal without any donations was $14,571.41. During the process of the project, we did receive several donations from volunteers, food, snacks, water, which totaled just over $300. I did attach a list of those donors because I did want to say thank you to everybody that donated food and money to help buy food and to keep the volunteers working. Also, Grace Environmental donated the cost to run the vac truck, so Grace donated $100, so that was a wash. We didn't have to worry about that amount. One of the volunteers that was there donated $1,000 towards the project, so that lowered our costs. He wanted to remain anonymous, so thank you. And of course, we will be receiving $1,000 from Bruce Gibson's office. We also had many other items donated. Starbucks donated coffee. Miners Hardware donated all the air masks that we needed to keep from breathing in all the mucky stuff. And who else? Slow Roast Coffee also contributed coffee. And then the following people, Ann and Jim Stanfill and Jose Acosta, brought us breakfast items to also get us started. So we're very grateful for that. The total cost in donations, money-wise, that we received was $2,437.17. I did want to spend a moment on the volunteer commitment. It was very integral to this whole project. Without their dedication and determination and belief in this project, our cost would have been about $30,000 total. We had 37 volunteers on Saturday, 30 on Sunday, 22 on Monday, 26 on Tuesday, and 6 on Wednesday morning. Was totaled 448 volunteer hours. I did want to mention Jennifer Ferrangi. She's one of our Parks and Recreation Committee members, and she put in a vast amount of time towards this project. She coordinated the volunteer list and made sure that we had enough bodies every single day, and I wanted to give her special recognition for her devotion and commitment to making sure this project was successful. Our local contractors also deserve a special thank you. Nathan Lemieux, Edward Flores, and Jeff Smith from Mission County Disposal and Waste Connections, Richard Zimmerman, Garrett Amos, and John Madonna from Madonna Construction went above and beyond their scope of work to make sure that we remained on schedule and assist us with keeping our costs down. The park rangers and safety specialists from the county were there every day of the project. They assisted with the contingencies and allowed us to make changes to our work plan as needed. They also purchased the base material and set it without any cost to our project because we did need to replace some of that base material, and they just paid for it. So contractors, material, and food. The project costs were, as mentioned, $14,571.58, with the donations of $2,437.17. Our costs were $12,134.41, and our original project costs were $13,341. And so I did attach a full accounting of all the receipts and donations. You could see there. Again, just very grateful and just inspired by the community's commitment and everybody. Chuck spent several days there, was out in the rain with us. Lou was there every single day. We did have Chris and her, she dragged her husband up, and everybody gave a lot of time. And I mean, there's a lot of people here that I just can't even see everybody. I saw a couple back there, and we couldn't have done it without you. And so I'm very grateful and thankful. So I don't know if anybody has. Oh.
We're applauding you. Yeah. Yes.
So I don't know if the board.
I have heard it from more than one person that you were the driving force and kept everything going and together. And I want to give my personal gratitude to you for doing that.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Indeed.
Well done.
Of course, I'm not sure I'd want to work for you, but.
Yeah. I wasn't mean. I was encouraging, right?
Like, yes, absolutely. I was just trying to be funny. Yeah. Oh, well. All right.
Are there any questions from the board?
Okay. Can we write thank yous to all these businesses that.
We're in the process of that. Ann and I are doing that right now. Yes.
Huh. All right.
Could the staff sergeant in the first row here say something?
Yeah. Please.
I'm Jennifer Ferrangi. I'm on the Parks and Rec Committee, and I am just so grateful for Renee because she showed up even on her birthday, all day, every day, an hour before anybody else got there, 2 hours before everybody else left. It would not have happened without you, so grateful for you. Thank you so much. And my kids can play at the park now, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, now LOCAC.
Good evening. David Harris. I'm the incoming chair for LOCAC. And we had our first meeting under my watch. And fortunately, it was a rather short meeting, but I'll try to make this as long as possible. No, just kidding. Our county report didn't have anything new. All they had to tell us was that the First Street Buildy project is being revised, and they will probably have a public meeting on that at some point in the future. They have no idea when, but they're planning on having it at the community center, and it would be a whole separate meeting just on that. So we don't know when that's going to happen, but we'll let you know. The supervisor didn't really have anything new because his assistant wasn't there, and he can't remember anything without her, apparently. But we did have a brief review of the library project, a few questions on that, and a couple other items, such as people wanting a crosswalk at the end of Rodman where it crosses LOVR, because children have trouble crossing the street there to go to school. So that will be referred to Public Works. We didn't have a CSD report because apparently there wasn't a CSD meeting prior to our meeting. We had five items on our consent agenda, two of them from the Land Use Committee and three from the Traffic Committee. They were all approved. If you want the details, we have the detailed minutes and an audio recording on locac.info. I'd like to plug our website. We did have a presentation by a citizen on a tree planting initiative. Apparently, there's a grant money available from Cal Fire statewide for planting trees along rights of way or right of ways, whatever. How do you say that? So this person wanted to instigate that and apply for grant funding and hopefully plant some trees in Los Osos. That was about the extent of our meeting. We meet the fourth Thursday of every month, except this month, which is Thanksgiving, so we're actually going to be doing it 1 week later on the 29th, and it will be at Sea Pines for this meeting, since the community center wasn't available. That's my first report.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the board? Thank you.
Madam President, members of the board, members of the public, my name is Steve Vinson, and I'm the president of the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. First thing I want to say is thanks for the kind comments on the Oktoberfest this past Sunday. It looks like everything went pretty well. The weather was great. Dare I say it was a Chamber of Commerce day. And we're going to be getting together here the next week or so and kind of do a download. There's a lot of people are involved in this, including Morro Bay Athletics, Kiwanis, they do the pancake breakfast, of course, all of our sponsors. So I'm looking for any kind of feedback if you were there or you even hear something, somebody was there. We'd like to know about it because we want to improve every year. So, okay, I have some announcements. Let's see. Try to go in order here. Rexall's having their holiday open house, and that's going to be on November 10 at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Prizes, refreshment. Great gifts and good times. The Chamber's next mixer is going to be on November 14 from 5:30 to 7 o'clock as usual. And it's Los Osos Cares is going to be sponsoring it. They're celebrating their one-year anniversary of nonprofit work towards helping our community. It's going to be at the Community Resource Center, which is at Sunnyside School, room 18. And I went to a meeting yesterday or the day before talking about the warming centers for the homeless when it rains real bad, and hopefully we will get some rain. So I've done it before. You know, you got to have one man, one woman to stay all night and kind of be the monitor of things. So what we're going to do this year, I think, we're going to try to do split shifts so somebody could come in at like 9 p.m. and stay till 1, and then somebody comes in from 1 and it goes all the way to morning. We're going to need a lot of volunteers to do that, and it's hard to get any any volunteers. Excuse me. Get a whole lot of volunteers. So anyway, Los Osos Cares, if you wanted more information on that, they can help you out. The
31st Annual Christmas Parade is coming up, and that's going to be on December 8th. You heard Richard talk earlier about the needs and wishes. So I hope that you'll come to the parade right down Los Osos Valley Road and then head on over to the South Bay Community Center. This year's theme is Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, and we still have spots open. The parade applications are available now and have to be submitted by December 3rd in order to take part. We're going to have awards for best theme, best of theme, best of music, best on foot, best on wheels, best of animals, and the judge's favorite. So always a lot of fun. Kiwanis, they'll be doing their pancake breakfast at the Bay Auto and Tire at the corner of Sunset and Los Osos Valley Road. And like I said, the needs and wishes will be right after that. The Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce and the Citizen of the Year Committee are now accepting nominations for the 2018 Citizen of the Year. This person does not have to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce. Citizen of the Year should be a person who gives outstanding service and dedication to the community, and one who is involved in more than one community effort, such as business, service organizations, church, school, environment, charities, government, or politics. They must live, work, or own a business in Los Osos. The committee will review all nominations, and the committee is made up of past Los Osos Baywood Park Citizens of the Year. So this isn't a chamber. The chamber doesn't pick. It's the old Citizens of the Year. Deadline for nominations is September 3rd. And then the last thing I have here is every year, you know, we sponsor a trip abroad somewhere. And so the one for this spring has been announced. We're going to be offering a fully escorted tour of Ireland on October 15th. So it's not the spring. It's October 15th of 2019. If you book by March 31st, you can save $100 per person, 7 nights in a 4-star hotel, St. Patrick's Cathedral, the Blarney Castle, Trinity College, and so forth. So every year we get 3 or 4 people out of the community who actually go on these trips. We've heard a lot of good feedback about them. And that concludes.
Questions from the board? Thank you very much.
Howdy. Tom Wright from the Los Osos Focus Group. We did have a meeting last month. A variety of topics came up. One, our habitat conservation plan, the HCP. Mr. Gibson's office had no news as to when that might be published. We heard a rumor that the window for public comment may be as short as 30 days. So it's incumbent upon us to find out when it will be published so we can provide input. Community Emergency Response Training, or CERT, is coming up in January. There'll be a new class. It will be taught at the Morro Bay Fire Department. Very worthwhile. Bob Newman came and gave us a very nice presentation. Chief Alex and I are going to get together to meet and discuss and prioritize the list of our projects, our hazardous fuel reduction projects here in Los Osos, and those include the Las Encinas project down by the mobile home parks, the eastern side of the town at the end of Napomo Street, or road. Where else? Rodman, Cabrillo area, south of town, Highland and Bayview Heights, the Morro Dunes Reserve, all of that. So we'll be meeting and discussing. There's money available to do these projects, and as long as we don't have any large fires in the future couple of months, we may have people that can actually come in and help us do some work. The next focus meeting is in this room, Tuesday, November 20th at 10 a.m., and public's invited. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Utilities Advisory Committee report?
Yes, we met at our normal time this last month, and in addition to hearing about all the things that the utility crews have been keeping up with, and there's a lot more than Jose talked about tonight, valve exercise machines, new trucks, all kinds of good stuff, we also talked about potential response to the Cleith Harris report, the latest groundwater criteria characterization that came out a couple months back. Rob kind of reminded us that he was waiting for comments. There were some areas that we wanted more emphasis on why the new well needs to go to the east, and on the concept that seems to be difficult for people to grasp, including myself, in that it's not just how many hours the pumps are in the groundwater basin running, extracting water. It's also where they're operating within that basin and for how long. And whether they're in the middle, at the saltwater front, that last report goes into great detail about how staggering the operation also affects the amount of production. It's not just how long the wells are running. And I think we're going to need to emphasize that more. I'm drafting a letter for committee comment. I hope to have it to you in the next board packet, because I think that needs to be agendized, a response to that letter. We're obviously going to be talking about that later on tonight. We've got a citizens group that's active in forming, and we're going to have some dialogue.
Thank you. Finance Committee report?
So the Finance Committee, is this on? I can't hear. Is it? Okay. The Finance Committee report, or pardon me, we met on our regular day, which is the Monday before the board meeting. So actually everything we talked about is on the agenda tonight. So as far as the consent agenda, the committee recommended that the board approve the warrant register and go ahead and receive and file the financial reports for both the period ending August 31st and September 30th. And the other item on the consent agenda is the approve the purchase of the self-contained breathing apparatus, thermal energy imaging cameras, and supporting gear. So that was also recommended that the board approve that purchase. The other items I'll discuss when we get to those during general action items.
Questions? Okay. Appointment of members to an ad hoc committee. What do you want them to do?
Yes, sir. What?
Tell me what you want.
What? Oh, this was, those in Richard, you'll appreciate this, but in the past we've looked at, we've had people come to us and ask about bond refinancing. So we've had some people come to us and ask about us to look at some bond refinancing potentials. So I'm just going to have an ad hoc committee to look into that to see if there's a net gain to the district or if it's actually a cost to the district. So that's the purpose of the ad hoc committee, just to look into whether there's a net benefit or not. Got it?
Okay. Shall I do that now?
You can appoint me now, yes.
Yes, I'm appointing you now. Who would you like to work with you? Christine, good choice.
I go with the financial expert up here. So, yeah, so we'll be talking, and we've got some proposals from various people that want to look at bond financing and refinancing, so we just need to sit down, look at it, and see if there's a net gain or a net loss.
All right. Directors' announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars.
I did hit the annual CAPSLO Policy Council training. That's their annual meeting where they bring in the parents of all the Head Start kids and that kind of thing. And because the policy council is the other half of the board of directors at CAPSLO that meet halfway on the programs and how to run the Head Start programs. And, of course, it's critical to get the parents involved. There was a story in the LA Times again about the importance of early education and how, talked about California in particular, kids do a good job of learning once we get them in school, but we're not getting them to school as prepared as some other states, and it seems like they never catch up once you start from behind. And it just, again, reemphasized the importance of early childhood education, and I'm glad to be a part of that program.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Thank you. Okay. Directors, do you have any items to be pulled from the consent agenda? I'm sorry, excuse me. Ann, did we have any previously asked questions?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Just wanted to check. Thank you. Anybody want to pull anything? Okay.
Got a motion first or go to public comment?
I thought we would go to public comment first. Okay. In that case, I will take public comment for both the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. 3 minutes, please.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and with regard to your financial statements, I made this notation at your finance committee, but I think your board should be following along as well. The bank statements from the low-income assistance fund are omitted. I thought they would be added for you tonight, but I didn't see them back here. I think we need to continue to track that fund. And as you're appointing ad hoc committees, I would ask once again that you appoint an ad hoc committee of your board to develop the next steps for the Low Income Assistance Fund. There may be some material left from a previous effort by about 2011. Director Cecinia and Director Kelly worked on low-income assistance criteria at that time. I don't know what's still available. Also, listening to your committee reports, I understand why the Finance Committee minutes are not included in your board packet. I still am at a great loss as to why all other committees are not part of the packet so that we can read up on the meetings we missed. With regard to the general manager's report specifically related to the rubber tire mulch, I in no way want to discredit anyone's efforts. I want to preface my remarks that way, and because I am truly grateful that that project is done. In December of 2016, I started a Facebook page about the project or about the issue, a change.org petition. Over 500 signatures were gathered. It's near and dear to my heart. But I have always been of the opinion, and I believe that most of you, most of us are, that the county needs to pay the expenses and reimburse the district wholly. And while Renee suggests that you are under budget, I have to say you need to ask for full reimbursement. And those reimbursement costs include things that are not on your list. Using the Vactor trailer, there is runtime and depreciation in that equipment. If you use that anywhere else on somebody else's property, you would have to charge that value. I know from doing a little research that there's a It's about $125 an hour to recover those costs. And if you'll allow, you had a special meeting to approve the right-of-way legal document. Your attorney spent time on the right-of-way legal document. Any man hours from the water department.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Tucker.
And
thank you.
I'll submit a list of some things that I think need to be added to the project price so that we
thank
can
you.
Ask the Board of Supervisors for the full reimbursement.
Thank you. All right. Any other folks? Okay.
Okay, I'll go ahead and move that the board go ahead and receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Now you got your breathing apparatus.
Thank you so much. It's such a great thing for this community. It really is.
Yeah, we kind of have want to keep you guys alive.
It's
Mr. Miller, are you ready?
I'm ready. Thank you, Madam President, members of the board and staff and the public. So I'm Rob Miller, the district engineer, and also currently serving as the interim director of the Los Osos Basin Management Committee. And so the item before us tonight, I think, which is of general interest to the group here, is the possibility of a test well at one of the sites for a Program C well, specifically at the Los Osos Middle School. While there's a staff report provided for you, I did want to provide a little background, if you'll indulge me, particularly since there's members of the public here that are interested. So just to remind folks that the basin management plan that was adopted by the courts has a series of infrastructure projects, and those were broken up into programs A through D. And there are two of those programs that are needed to balance the basin under the current population, and those are programs A and C. And pleased to report that the lion's share of that work is already completed and in the ground and functioning, with the exception of a few projects, all of which are completely funded, permitted, and ready to be built, except for the Program C well that is being discussed tonight. So the purpose of Program C was to shift pumping in the lower aquifer from the west side of the community to the east side of the community, just east of South Bay Boulevard. There were three wells that were contemplated in the basin management plan, and one of those wells has already been drilled and is currently operating under Golden State's jurisdiction. The second well, the CSD, has undertaken to complete, and that is the subject of the staff report here tonight. So those of you who, I'm sure a number of you are able to come to the public workshop that we held in August, I think it was a very good public discussion. Everyone was very respectful, provided very good input. Always willing to do those types of forums that are more open, no 3-minute clock, maybe a little less frustrating in terms of dialogue, as well as meet with small groups if folks want to talk about the basin in general. In homes or whatever venue would be helpful. But here tonight we're talking about the next steps on that second Program C well. And as I was preparing this staff report, I had a number of different options that we could have provided to your board. I chose one of the three options I could have recommended, but it's certainly not the type of staff note that says, hey, you have to do this and you have to do it tonight. There are alternatives. So let me just walk through those. The first thing that staff could have recommended is that instead of drilling a sort of test well to see what you have at one of the sites, we could just move forward with environmental review of all four sites and look to take the next steps on permitting for the project. Not necessarily selecting a site at this point, but like we talked about at the workshop, do all the environmental review necessary to move it forward. So that was one potential option that would have come with a significant price tag to do that. The other option was to an acknowledgement of the conditions of the basin, which have improved over the last few years, to not take any specific action, but to pursue some of the other projects that are of generally agreed upon value to the community, like stormwater recovery, and sort of take a pause on Program C. Staff selected a middle road, which is to take one of the four sites, which based on public comment at our workshop was perhaps one of the less controversial sites at the middle school, though I think all four sites have certainly an amount of controversy, and determine if there's sufficient water there to even continue to pursue that site. And what we would do in this case is we drill a 5-inch test well, and we'd look at aquifer properties in that well, run tests, and do some test pumping, look at surrounding wells, and then come up with a report that basically predicts how much yield you may be able to get at a well at the Los Osos Middle School site. So that was what staff wrote up. And your staff report really contemplates one action, which is to retain Cleith Harris geologists for about $10,000 to prepare all the specifications and bid requirements to put this out for competitive bid to drill the test well. We believe that's about a $50,000 test well, but the action before you tonight is only to hire the groundwater expert in order to prepare the specifications for the well. So in order to drill it, we bring that back to you with a cost and with the bids that we received sometime towards the first quarter of 2019. So there's a number of different discussions that I'm sure will occur tonight, and I want to thank the public for being actively engaged, particularly Mr. Goodrich, who submitted a letter into the record. And while Mr. Goodrich and our groundwater expert might disagree in terms of basin dynamics, in accordance with the basin plan, we do believe that the proper distribution of pumping is an important element to reducing seawater intrusion potential. There is certainly some common ground in pursuing stormwater recovery at various locations as being a good way to augment basin supplies. So I don't want to imply that by taking an action tonight as recommended by staff that you wouldn't also pursue stormwater recovery projects. You heard a little bit from the general manager tonight about one project in the urban area, and I've looked personally at the Warden Creek project and certainly has some merit for further discussion for stormwater recovery. So our recommendation here tonight is to certainly have a discussion, be happy to answer questions from the board, but we'd like you to consider retaining Cleith to prepare the specifications for the drilling of that test well, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Discussion from the board? Questions? Okay, that was easy. Now we'll take
I just wanted to briefly interject before public comment, because we all refer to the basin management plan as a plan because that's its title in a sense and its nomenclature. It's actually a court order. So there's a court order that these projects be done. So yes, it is a plan, but it's the result of a court order based upon litigation covering the entire basin. So this is your staff's recommended approach to complying with the court order.
And Madam President, if I could augment that just a little bit.
Please do.
The Basin Management Committee, which meets periodically, our next meeting is on the 14th of November at 1:30. They do from time to time consider what we're calling adaptive management, and that is when we look at basin conditions, take those as a whole, and look at whether it's prudent to make adjustments to our basin plan actions. One of those reports was referred to by Director Sasanian, considered at your Utilities Advisory Committee, and that is a report that looked specifically at Program C, where Cleith Harris basically gave an opinion that under current development, an additional Program C well may not be necessary. However, it is still recommended due to a number of factors which he described in the report, including reliability, rainfall patterns, which may result in unforeseen drought and the prudent use of recycled water. And that report will come back to the Basin Management Committee in November and in subsequent meetings and have a public discussion. But I wanted to make that clear that while it's true that the Basin Plan is entered as a court document, it does allow for what we're terming adaptive management, and the parties are supportive of that. So, again, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for the clarifications, both
Thank you.
Of you.
Yes.
Discussion from the board? All right, then I will take public comment on this item.
Good evening. I'm the aforementioned Mr. Goodrich, and Ms. Osborne, I want you to know that the thought of recovering stormwater and augmenting the aquifer with it is at the base what we all want to happen. We'd love to see that examination expanded. But I wanted to address just a part of what we're dealing with in terms of the Basin Management Committee and its authority. Although it is true that the Basin Management Authority comes from litigation between the county and the water companies, that litigation did not engage as parties anybody else, not any of the private well owners, not any other landowners. As a consequence, it's not binding upon any of those other parties. Those of us who are outside that set of parties are concerned with several things about the Basin Management Plan. The one which seems key and most obvious is that the real essence of the basin management problem is that we have an extraction of water for Los Osos, which is absolutely necessary. The town of Los Osos relies upon that aquifer. The Cleith Harris thesis is that there's only one basin, which extends from the sea roughly to where the new sewage plant is. There are other engineers who believe that may not be correct, but let's stay with that presumption. If the presumption is accurate that there's one basin that extends from the Pacific Ocean to the new sewer plant, whether we pump on the west side of that basin or we move our wells to the east side of that basin, the hydraulic pressure, which keeps the seawater out of our basin, will be removed equally. You can't pump 10,000 gallons from the front and get a different result from 10,000 gallons at the back. We're opposed to seeing the part of the basin plan which contemplates movement from the west to the east of the wells as a solution, because it's not, because the seawater intrusion will continue. The town, if it does not protect that aquifer with augmentation by stormwater runoff or some other source, will one day have to build a desalinization plant to make up for the seawater pollution of its aquifer. And although we could go into lots of detail with this, we have a group that is interested in working with Rob and others to see if we can't avoid this movement of the wells to the east. Instead, to see if we can't find other augmentation sources which can relieve limitation on water for the community, just as, but I'll get back to Rob on that. But thank you for your time.
Thank you. Other public comment?
Good evening, Madam President and fellow board members, other board members. I'm Matt Forcroy, and I just wanted to lend support to drilling a test well in the vein of to make an informed decision on those four proposed locations. You would have to make sure that you have productivity at that location. Loams is an attractive surface location, but there's some question about whether or not it can provide the minimum, I think it was 100 acre feet a year. So to me, it seems like to be able to make a decision on where you would put a well, foregoing the rest of if you need the well, or we want to pause on that right now, but to make a decision on any four of those locations, you would have to know about the productivity at Loams first. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on this item? Now we can go. And closing public comment.
Yeah, I just had, Rob, a question for you, because I think this, because this question keeps coming up about why drilling it on the east side makes sense. So, and having been involved in the whole negotiations of the whole thing with the courts and with the other purveyors, but my understanding was that the reason for going, or pardon me, one of the reasons for going to the east side well was that there's water that's currently potentially being recharged into the basin out of the creek, et cetera, that now flows out to the bay. But if the well's drilled on the east side, that some of that water would then be pumped out, which is not, I mean, it's not just, is that, you know what I'm trying to say, is that a...
Yeah, in fact, the report that I referred to previously describes that a little bit, that by shifting to the east, you do induce some more recharge from those creek sources to, again, augment the yield. Not being the one who ran all the models and did the analysis, I can tell you from a general engineering perspective that we are seeing physical evidence of the success of the basin plan, so the actual recovery of water levels on the west side. And we're going to talk a little bit about the fall data at the meeting on the 14th, but we're actually seeing water levels steadily recover, and we're seeing chloride steadily reduce. So it's not just theoretical. We do have some physical data that we're grabbing onto as well.
Well, I was just, for background information, I just wanted to make sure that people understood that there was a rationale behind going to the east side, because whether people agree or not, but that's what we've talked about.
Right.
So can I ask one more question? So if I understand correctly, this proposal from Cleith and Harris, I see what it is. It's just to cut them to come up with a scope for drilling the well at the middle school, but are they going to, and this wasn't clear to me, are they going to, as part of that scope, come up with the criteria that we have to meet to make that well viable, or when does that actually come up?
So that's already been...
That's what's in the
recommended,
basin plan now.
Recommended that 100 acre feet is kind of the lower threshold.
Okay.
Though their scope does include, during the pumping of that test well, they would do the monitoring, come up with a report, and advise on what the potential production might be at that location.
So whether that's a sustainable yield from that well?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, that's
right.
Where I was, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand a little bit more about this.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
I guess we'll be discussing this more on the 14th.
Indeed.
Any other board discussion?
Excuse me. I'd like to make a comment about the water thing. That just I hadn't been practiced on what I wanted to say. We've been talking about sustainability, and this is just pushing the can down the road. We have to be talking about healing the aquifer and making sure that the aquifer is sustainable, not just for the next 10 years, 5 years, but for generations. For our kids' families, and for their families, and for generations beyond that. And we're not looking at that. We're just looking at how taking water out, putting water back in. And we've got to look at how we're going to heal that aquifer and how we're going to keep from polluting it. Because right now we're polluting it at the rate of 500,000 gallons a day by putting water that the people in the sewer plant won't even touch with their bare hands without eye protection. And we're putting it into the aquifer at 500,000 gallons a day. How are we going to help that, reverse that problem? At what point are we going to heal the upper aquifer? and that needs to change. We need to be looking at healthy solutions on our aquifer. Thank you.
Ma'am.
Did you just reopen public comment?
No. I did not.
Just let it go. It wasn't even actually on topic. I agree that I'm not ready to just say let's pause on the development of this well, because one of the key things in that Cleith Harris report talked about, maybe you don't need the well provided we get 17 and a half inches of rain a year. That's not been happening, and I'm not going to bet on it. I don't really want to slow down consideration of this because of the time frame that it takes. It takes a long time to develop a well, and that's when you have a favored location. We're a long ways from that. We've got to start, I think, with this seems to be the softest site to look at in terms of community interest, and so that's where you start. Will this meet our needs? And that's what we're doing. And if this meets our needs and it's possible and it's the one site that we can get to without a lot of controversy, maybe it turns out to be our site. Maybe not. But we start here, and we also look at parallel tracks of stormwater recharge, creek discharge, all the things that have been brought up. But I kind of like the idea of moving ahead with this.
Any other board comments?
I still have a question.
Okay, you have another question. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to understand.
No problem.
No, of course.
I'm not a water engineer, so I'm just, again, I'm looking at the scope here from Cleith Harris. So I just want to make sure that so it says log, test hole, and interpret geophysical logs. What does that mean in layman's term?
So the driller will provide the service of drilling the well, but to interpret the data that comes out of that effort, we need Cleith to do that. So there's a resistance test, resistivity tests that use electrical resistance. There are cuttings that come off of the driller, the flights of drilling that are logged and interpreted. So all the data that the driller collects then will be interpreted by Cleith as part of the drilling. They'll be there the whole time. So
just to follow up on that, so the last item says provide report documenting well construction and testing, including interpretation of test results, estimate discharge capacity and water quality for full diameter production well of the site. So that just piggybacks on what you just said.
Right, and that's where you get the estimate of this well will produce, 100 gallons a minute, which okay. would be sufficient for 100 acre foot per year. Or it will produce only 30 gallons a minute because there's just not enough thickness. It doesn't give up the water, and the site's not viable. So
it will take, for lack of a better term, what will be technical data and put it in layman's terms. So
give you a go/no-go for whether the site is worth even considering.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Any further board comment questions? Okay. I will entertain the motion now. We have a staff recommendation. But I kind of need somebody not me to do this.
I move that we approve the staff recommendation that the board authorize staff to prepare bid documents, secure construction bids for subsequent board approval for the installation of a temporary test well at Site A, adjacent to the Los Osos Middle School. Staff further recommends board authorize staff to retain Cleith Harris in the amount not to exceed $9,500.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Can I ask for one more clarification? I'm sorry. So with the understanding that this is only to prepare the bid documents and to do that, but before there was actually that would come back to the board before there was actually authorization to move forward. I just want to make sure.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I just want to get that on the record so everybody in the audience understands what's we're happening here.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Yeah, Chris.
Chris did. Thanks. I got lost in your graceful prose. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Okay, our next item is a discussion.
Can I say one more thing? I look forward.
Can I stop you?
No, I look forward to you people that have some concerns coming out to our Basin Management Committee meeting on the 14th, which is at 1:30 at the community center. Thank you, Ernie. I just wanted to make sure that everybody heard that.
Okay, now can Jose talk?
No.
So Jose is going to cover the first portion of the report, which has to do with the actual decommissioning of the tanks. Jose, and then I'll take it up after as of the audit on the second page of the audit, and then I'll take it from there because there are some changes.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Good evening, Madam President, Board of Directors, citizens of Los Osos. My name is Jose Acosta. I am your Utility Systems Manager for Los Osos CSD. Tonight I am presenting a staff report to discuss the Bay Ridge finances, cleaning and decommissioning of the 10 septic tanks at their wastewater septic location. Before I proceed, I want to make a correction to the motion. The motion, when we get to that point, should state, I move that the board authorize staff to compile and go out with the RFP to collect quotes and bids from outside contractors to perform this task, bring it back to the board for review and approval. So I just want to make sure that we get that correction on this report right now so everyone's aware. So real quick, I'll give you some Are we back on?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So just some history and the summary of what's happened or what's going on up at Bay Ridge Estates. In November of 2017, Frank Ascension, our water resource crew leader, reported that we still had approximately 10 septic tanks. There's a total of 12 tanks up there, but we have 10 remaining with product in them that need disposal. Each tank contains approximately 5,000 gallons of product. The Bay Ridge Estates wastewater septic system was removed from service once all the Bay Ridge residents were connected to the county sewer project. This occurred in May of 2016. The tanks were isolated and sitting with this waste since this time. The district had initially entered into a verbal contract for a trial period with Al Septic Service in an attempt to begin the pumping of the tanks in January and August of 2016. At that time, one tank was pumped and cleaned on each of these dates. The initial plan was for Al Septic to pump out 1 to 2 tanks per year until all tanks were empty. The plan seemed to be the most reasonable, both in terms of efficiency and economically, with the minimal budget and the Bay Ridge funds. And with the county not giving the district a deadline as to when all tanks should be emptied. After the initial 2 tanks were pumped and the workload and manpower spent by Al Septic Service, Al's decided they were no longer interested in pursuing this project. The manpower to remove that product and dispose of it required Al to also purchase and set out some Baker tanks, which required him blending that product with product that he was removing from other septic tanks within the district and surrounding communities. So it was taking him that extra time to have that product sit there, collect that product from the surrounding communities, and blend it to be able to dispose of it. This happens because the product becomes inactive and is no longer viable for the wastewater processing. So the wastewater plants don't want a product that's going to interfere or interrupt with their processes at their plant. Staff immediately began looking into the cost estimates on getting this product pumped out, and we had Frank go out and get some quotes and contacts with some of the contractors in the surrounding community and within the county. As you can see, there are 9 contractors that he initially contacted, and their responses are also attached right here. Most of them said they don't want to take on this product. They didn't even want to come out and make a site visit. They said no right away, knowing how much manpower it would take, knowing that they didn't have the resources, and knowing that they didn't have a disposal facility that would be willing to accept this product. In May of 2018, staff received a few more leads from Grace Environmental. Charlie gave me some names and some other facilities to contact, And you can see those names listed here as well, Liberty Composting, Speeds, ACT Environmental. I also reached out to Al Septic Service once again, National Plant Services, Patriot Environmental Services, and Sensusac. Their responses are also attached. We've struggled to find a contractor that would be willing to pump these tanks. And again, mentioning the biggest concern and issue for these contractors is finding a location that would be willing to accept the product. No entity within San Luis Obispo County nor Santa Maria Wastewater Plant will take the expired sludge. We did reach out to county and ask if they would be willing to let us take it out to any of their facilities. Also asked if they had any equipment that we could use to pump it out if needed. And unfortunately, at this time, they were unable to assist us with that. And they definitely did not want the product at our wastewater plant here in Los Osos. We received two quotes from the contractors that I contacted. The first one was ACT Environmental, and they submitted their quote for $108,000. I do want to point out that ACT has been pretty good. They're reaching out at least once or twice a month, asking what the progress is and if there's any way that they can assist us. So I keep telling them, once the board gives approval to go out for the RFP, then they'll definitely be contacted as well. Speeds is also another company that was willing to provide services to remove this product. Speeds submitted their quote on an hourly rate and also on a rate for the end user who's going to be taking the product on how much they would be charging per gallon. I did some math with Speeds and still came up with a little over $100,000 on their final quote if we were to use their hourly rates based on the 4 to 4.5 hour drive to get the product out to Rancho Cucamonga and the amount of product that needs to be delivered. At that time, that concludes my portion of the report. I'll hand it over to Renee so she can discuss the financials.
Yes, Sarah, in case they have questions. So I do have some changes to make to that financial portion because since this report several weeks ago, I have spoken to our auditor, and we do have better numbers now on what Bay Ridge is going to have left over at the end of this fiscal year. They do have $33,206 in reserve. That is correct, but they're going to be closer to $15,600 at the end of this fiscal year. So that keeping in line with current expenses, which are just very, very minor, it looks like they'll need another couple of years to, you know, before that they are able to pay that off if the bids stay within the $100,000 range. So I did speak with Adam about that, and he says that pretty much after that we would look at the loan and everything else that we have to finance, we'll have to come up with to put these so that Bay Ridge can pay off their these expenses for decommissioning these tanks. So, but he said at this point it'd be until we know the amount. You know, the actual amount, that it'd be a little premature to start talking about a loan when we don't know all that. So, but in either case, I think maybe Director Ceseño wants to talk about UAC, what they mentioned about what we need to get done, and I don't know where Marshall went, but what FAC started.
Well, we want to move ahead with this project. I guess it looks like now they're going to be closer to $50,000 short.
Yeah.
After this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
But either way, I need to get it done.
Yeah, either way. And we're waiting for one more quote.
That is correct. I was reached out to another company, and they said they would provide a quote. I sent her an email again today awaiting response. I am keeping my fingers crossed that she does keep to her word and submit a quote as well. Once we go out to RFP, I'll reach out to each one of these companies once again, sending them the RFP. Maybe they changed their mind, found a location, or willing to have some dialogue with other companies that may be willing to take the product.
Yeah, no, we need to get that RFP out there. We definitely need to do that.
So that is our request, the motion that we changed.
Yeah, and that was part of what the Financial Advisory Committee recommended, that we do this incrementally rather than, because it wasn't clear, and that was the referral that UAC gave to FAC, but... So that was the Financial Advisory Committee's recommendation to do it incrementally. So.
Yes. So, and that was one of the issues that we had as well. We're trying to prepare this report and get it out in October. We, you know, there's been quite a few changes since then, and we'd spoken to Rob, and we knew we needed to go out to RFP. So it was too late. The report was already out before we could make that change on the motion.
And there will be outreach to the community, too, during that period of time.
Once we figure out what the cost is going to be. Yes. I don't know if anybody else had any questions for Jose or...
Ms. Goodhart, were you able to capture the new motion? Let's try it now.
Oh, I can get it from Jose. That would not be a problem.
Yeah. To go out with RFP.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Put it in a few words.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I'm entertaining a motion.
We have to go to public
comment. I'm so sorry. Yes. 3 minutes, please.
I'm Vita Miller, and I live in Bay Ridge Estates. We're one of the original, had the home built in 1978. And so just a couple questions. It seems like there was no plan when this project was built. When our home was built in 77, 78, you know, we thought there'd be a sewer online within 10 years. I remember the contractor making that comment. Seems to me there should have been a plan at that time for this decommissioning. Apparently there wasn't, and I'm just concerned that the residents of Bay Ridge don't know about this, and if there are going to be additional costs that are going to be incurred to the residents, I at least am asking that when the RFPs come back, that there be some notification to the residents of Bay Ridge Estates. But also, once you do complete this project and those 12 tanks are sitting there, what's happening then? What's going to happen to that land? What do you do? Do you just cap it, or do you put sand in those tanks? And can that land be used for anything? Is there any idea of repurposing the land there? It's a pretty big piece of property, so I think it'd be nice to know. What is there any intention about that? I mean, is that county that owns? That's owned by the county, I presume. Or is it owned by the CSD?
CSD.
I'm sorry.
I believe it's owned by the CSD, Rob.
It's owned by the CSD.
We think so. We think so, but we'll confirm.
Okay, well, I think it'd be nice to know if there's maybe some possibility of doing something with that property. And I'd like to have an answer about what do you do with the tanks. And the other thing I just wanted to mention I heard at the Finance Committee meeting is that Vista de Oro has already had their decommissioning taken care of and apparently included in the sewer project. And I understand it's because something about the piping going through those tanks. But so that the cost of that was dispersed in the sewer project, and yet the residents of Bay Ridge may have to incur some costs ourselves. And that just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. And that project was put in there by the county. Seems to me that the county should be responsible for that decommissioning and for paying any costs that are left over, and that really it should be their responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and I'm going to start where Vita left off, and I completely agree that the county has some responsibility in this, and that's where I think you need to start, maybe concurrently with going out for a request for proposal for decommissioning. But I think your discussion needs to be first about what you want to do with the tanks. At one time, we talked about them being a resource, some reusable resource. They are a stranded asset at this point. They could be used for something. What do you want to do? That's what you wrap into the RFP. I recommend you engage your district engineer on writing that RFP. You, just because of his wastewater expertise. The other thing, going back to the county's responsibility, you have to play some hardball here. They got you into a big mess. The early estimates for decommissioning were around $60,000. The idea that the district or the water fund would loan one nickel is outrageous. You don't have that kind of money to be you're not a bank. This district is not a bank. Those funds are enterprise funds, and you should not be loaning them. And your agreement with Bay Ridge is not for loaning them money into the future. Your agreement, according to that 218, was for operations and maintenance, not this big capital project. And when we finally know what the... Well, maybe it is, Roy, but it's wrong. It's wrong that these people have to be saddled with that. And this district should not fund it with water funds. That's what the water ratepayers are paying their money for, is for their operations and maintenance, not for Bay Ridge. What is the goal? What is the goal? And that's the complete project description needs to be in that RFP. And I think Rob could do a good job doing that. I'm not advocating for more money to be spent, but that's what has to happen. When the county was telling you had to fix their pipes and you loaned $125,000 about 4 years ago, Bay Ridge didn't have a say. And I think that was a significant amount of money. They were not informed that there'd be this loan. They got a little letter kind of after the fact. And anything in the future, the county can loan. The county can get
into an agreement
with those property
owners.
Richard Margetson, since I'm the one that brought up the discrepancy in the report about as of the audit, I just would like to give you a couple of highlights. First of all, this was before your finance committee meeting, and I'm not holding Marshall responsible for this because he's just the chair, but I found this mistake 5 minutes into the meeting, sitting there with the packet. I've done some further investigation since. How is your finance committee made up of 5 members not finding this before they walk in the room? So we're short. Is it because the financials for last year had Bay Ridge revenue at $38,591 compared to this year, $63,940. Bay Ridge assessment is the same every year. That number is fixed in stone. The only thing that fluctuates with relationship to Baywood is a slight increase in that little bit of property tax. So was the $25,000, was that finally caught by the auditor after the comments the other night at finance, which reduced that $40,000 that you thought you were going to get to now only $15,000. And this year's budget, when it was stated that with one more year at $41,000 we could get this all paid off, your budget for this year says that you're only going to net $24,529. You still have the loan payment to Bay Ridge. You still have the lighting cost, and you have that little bit of administration. Those are locked in. So in the future, it would be nice if when these numbers come out from staff, if there was some backup documentation of how they got to $41,690,340. That's an exact number. There had to have been some calculation that got you to that number. You couldn't have gotten it from last year's budget, which was wrong, and either the auditor picked it up or finally it dawned on somebody that that was the wrong amount, and using this year's budget numbers. That's what you need in the future. You just can't take these statements at face value, these reports month after month. Look at the one we had just last month, or was it last month or the month before, about the finance issue, the interest issue. Another issue that didn't get caught by the Finance Committee, had to be corrected. You need more detail. And now you have to figure out how many years into the future Bayridge is going to continue to pay the full freight to now pay off this other loan they're going to have.
Thank you, Mr. Margetson. Any further public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Are you? You're right.
I'll move the Financial Advisory Committee's recommendation that the staff go ahead and prepare RFP for circulation to get proposals for the, I don't know how to put it, sludge removal, whatever you want to call it. It's not, just, but there's more than just, I mean, there's more to decommissioning than what we're talking about right now, so.
But maybe we make it all part of this. The RFP should include the final disposition of the tanks, all the options, what we can do with that. We should set ourselves up for the future.
I was going to go there with this, the second part, but because it did come up, and it made sense to me that maybe Rob looks at it and looks at what the options are for decommissioning, you know, and whether we can do recharge or what the options are to use it, because I don't think any of us know. But so I was going to move the recommendation, and then also that we authorize Rob to look into the potential for the reuse of the tanks. So that was going to be the second part. So that's my motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much. Okay. Good. Item 12C. Sure. You do have some papers there.
I can get it started until he gets the report. I like that. It is. We have brought this staff report before the board because we have found that we have some excess furniture and items that we can get rid of, there isn't a policy, a specific policy on how to do that. And so Mr. Acosta has been looking at some different policies that are out there. We asked some different general managers in the area what they do with all their excess equipment or items they're trying to get rid of. And so that is why we have this report.
Good evening, Madam President, Board of Directors, members of the community. My name is Jose Acosta. I'm a utility system manager for Los Osos CSD. And tonight I am bringing you a staff report in regards to disposal of district surplus property. Currently, the CSD does not have a written policy or procedure in place for disposal of assets or district property. Staff is presenting a draft policy for board review, input, and recommendations. The district should have a policy in place to allow for proper protocol to be followed in regard to disposal of district assets and property. Currently, there is no written policy in place, and staff has in the past provided a resolution to the board for discussion and recommendation on disposal of assets or property. That's how it's been handled previously with disposing of district property. Staff has compiled a draft written policy and is presenting it to your board for review and recommendations. When I compiled this draft policy, it was after reviewing probably about 6 or 7 policies that I found online. And also, we do have a community for all CSDs where you can submit a question and request information from other CSDs, and they'll provide you with documents and templates. And so that's what I did, is I compiled all that information and came up with this policy. So what I am doing now is submitting it for your review and requesting input from the board and direction on how we want to proceed. This document could be 10 pages in length. It could be 2 pages in length, depending on what the board recommends and wants to see in this document. Do I have any questions from the board?
Is a sample of that in our packet? Of
yeah.
I, for one, favor the two-page mm-hmm. version.
Less is more.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think my only comment was, how do we define immediate family? Is that the employee, the wife, and children? Or does that include brothers and sisters? Which immediate family?
I think that that could be something that we could spell out in this report if we want to go in depth.
I think that might be wise.
In other places, they say immediate family, meaning I've seen it where it's only in household.
Right. So. I think I'd want it to be your birth family, maybe, because there are too many instances of extended family.
I agree with that thought.
Taking advantage of this. Of course, that's an easy clarification. Other than that, shorter is sweeter.
Yeah. And as any policy and procedure, they are living documents that can be brought back to the board for further review or added to the document if needed.
Any further discussion from the board? Questions? In that case, we'll move on. I'm sorry. That's easily fixed. All right. We're taking public comment now.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And some of this, I think, is state law on how surplus property can be handled from a municipality, which is great. But I do like the resolution that comes before your board, and I would ask that that be included in the policy, and that's the final step, is that, you know, it still comes to the board and by resolution that then you open up whatever advertising or that, because it actually is a place, you know, at the board level, you may know of a nonprofit or something that might benefit from some of these items, should they be donatable, and they get more public eyes on them through the public packet, and it's always good to kind of keep track of what's leaving the district and maybe what estimated value, more transparency.
No more public comment? All right, I'm closing public comment.
I had another question. Yeah. That's all I'm just questioning tonight, apparently. my concern or question is fire engines, fire trucks, et cetera, because they would be subject to this policy, if I'm reading it correctly. And I don't think that that's the way it should be, because I'm just asking a question.
Well, number five, if I'm reading this correctly, if number five would cover that, because all those items are worth more than $1,000. So this is mostly about items worth $1,000 or under.
Okay.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we shouldn't exclude the fire department, I guess is what I'm saying.
We can probably word it how we like.
Yeah. Yep. Swipe to draft.
I mean, we had that discussion at finance, you know, about the respirators and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And obviously, if somebody wanted them, they could have them. I don't think we have to go through this whole process for that kind of stuff. So I just think we should exempt the fire department and let them deal with their own stuff on their own basis.
So where would we put that? Maybe like a number 7 or something. So basically bring this back and somewhere in here find a, put an exemption from fire department equipment or excess whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just talking about fire equipment, not right. Just fire equipment.
Okay.
Okay.
I do want to point out that it is stated in here if the estimated value of the surplus property is in excess of $1,000 prior to the disposition, the board shall be provided with and approve in a surplus resolution a list of all such property. Mm-hmm. So that is listed in there.
Are the only comments for now?
Could you apply these to a? Could you apply the rules to a invented case and see how they apply? And just sort of, maybe it should be shorter. May toss this one or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of.
Only 15.
Yes. No.
I'll look into that.
Yeah. Huh? Okay, good.
Okay. So we'll bring this, we'll make those changes, and Jose will take care of that question, and then we'll bring it back to the board to review again.
Yeah, and again, I'm just talking about fire department equipment, not the chairs and the beds and the stuff that's actually...
Not any office equipment, chairs.
We can include a clause in here that just says at the discretion of the fire department, they decide what gets brought forward. Something to that effect.
Okay.
We'll work on language for that.
Yes. Okay, so thank you, and we'll bring this back to the board next meeting. Okay. Almost done. Want me to just keep going? Keep going? Yes. Item 12D is in regards to a discussion regarding the water conservation campaign, which we presented to UAC. So, Chuck, anytime you want to chime in. And what we were asking, I don't know if you want me to read this whole thing or not, but in short, what we were asking for is, did you want us to continue with the same logos that we currently have, or do you want us to start over and start a new campaign? When that was brought forward to UAC, they loved the idea of a new campaign. One of our committee members actually changed the campaign, I'll say direction, by saying that the question to the kids would be, what are their ideas on saving our water basin? So they seem to like that. The only I did talk to one of the principals of one of the elementary schools, and they did mention that that's a little bit out of the realm of the elementary school, so it would end up being, which is not bad, but it would end up being a project that would, the whole thing would go to the middle school. And I do know one of the teachers there, a science teacher there in Aston. They're like, well, come back to us if you know what you guys want to do, and it sounded interesting to them. I would have to get started on this right away because last year we weren't able to get to the schools till December, and they had a short time to develop everything they wanted to develop. So I would like to have some kind of motion from you at this meeting so that they have a couple more months to develop something. So, I don't know, would you like to add something, Chuck?
Well, I thought that we were talking about an annual campaign at one of the elementary schools that they did kind of a part of a curriculum issue. And now we're talking about maybe taking the whole thing to the middle school because we've expanded the topic beyond maybe what the elementary school can handle.
Yes, and I just found that out. So.
Okay. I'm not sure just how, I don't know what percentage of staff time this takes, of your time. I don't know how big an element I want this to be of our general manager's duties. It sounded good if it was something we could plug into the elementary school, kind of an annual curriculum thing. It wouldn't take a lot. I don't know where it's going to go, if it goes to the middle school and what we do with it from there.
So you changed it from how to save water to save our basin. What kind of answers are you expecting to get back from school kids?
I think that I don't want to speak for UAC, but I think that they were more looking at I guess it's the level of science and them looking into, you know, how much do they know about the aquifer, how much they know about the basin, how much they know on how water works, where water comes from, and such. So that's how it kind of ended up a little bit.
And that, I can see where that might take it to the next level,
yeah,
in terms of the children you might want to be dealing with.
Yeah.
The elementary school, it might be a little more simple just to stick with the concept of saving water as opposed to exactly this basin.
Yes. Yes.
Can you get a small number of science teachers that teach at different levels and basically sit around for 3 hours and listen to what they say?
Could you talk into your microphone?
Okay.
Yeah.
Find
some
teachers, different levels, grades, and what do they want to see in this thing? I don't think we have to go through a complete redo, but get some input and give it another whirl.
I think I would like to see this piloted in middle school. Much as I adore these, it would be good to pilot it and help work with the schools to actually make it a curriculum element.
The only issue I have with the middle school is you're not just talking about Los Osos residents, whereas with the elementary school you are.
Good point.
So, I mean, that's the reality.
That might be, in a sense, a wider discussion, though, because some of the kids are talking about, hey, in my town, these are the options we have for water. And, you know, we don't have those options here. It just might lead to a discussion, more robust discussion.
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, if you got a Morro Bay kid, I mean, they have state water. So, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
It just seems to me we might want to keep it localized.
And I think it's getting a little complicated. I think we want to keep it simple and not something that's going to take a lot of time. And
right.
Teachers don't have a lot of time, like 3 hours to... They're already pretty booked, too. So, I mean, I'm okay with them doing something pretty similar to what you did last year and just having... we need to not overthink it and not to make ourselves a bunch of work.
I tend to agree with that. And maybe 1 year of a program isn't enough to really... set it. I mean, every year, the kids is a new set of kids coming into that grade to learn about water. So maybe we're not exhausting that potential yet.
Hey, and then we could, if we stick with the magnets, that could be part of the prize. Your drawing made into a magnet. I don't know. Like, improve it, but don't... I don't want you to put a bunch more work on your plate. Or making it too complicated.
Yeah, I think I'm tending to get that same sense, that maybe we just improve on last year's program without taking it to the middle school.
Okay, well, we'll keep the videos at the middle school because they're still based on good production. And of course, the chamber is mentioned in the report. They're very, very happy to continue to be part of it and raise the money for the awards and also it be part of the business expo. So that's the other thing, too, is why there's some timing involved to just get this going so that we can be ready by the March expo. So keep it the same. You guys are fine with keeping it the same. Logos at the elementary school, the videos at the middle school. And go ahead and stay with the chamber, and the chamber will help raise the money for the prizes.
That almost sounds like kind of a hybrid between the two avenues you've got put out here.
Yeah.
Because one just says continue with the current logos.
Yes.
So we're not talking about doing that.
No.
But we're also not talking about...
changing.
Yeah, changing the focus too much.
Yeah, so that's what so a totally new motion from what I had
right.
is it sounded like that what you guys wanted was go with new logos but stay with the same
program.
Course.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I understood.
That'd be the motion.
Right?
And you can, I mean, whether you say do you have any ideas on how to save water, or what do you do to save water, or whatever? You can fine-tune it to maybe...
So it's a little different.
Whatever. So it's slightly different.
But same, different.
Yeah. With the same idea, but just, you know.
Okay. All right. So do I have a motion?
Public comment.
Sorry, I forgot about Julie.
Yeah, she's the one who's...
Julie Tacker, and Chuck, you mentioned at the beginning of your questions or concerns is that how best is Renee's time being spent? It seems to me from the reports and the work effort, there's a lot that goes into this, and she's been doing that. Is that the best use of her time? There are grants available for water conservation, cash for grass, low flow fixtures. You know, the 1.6 gallon toilet was exempted from replacement in the wastewater project. State of the art today is 1 gallon or less. If this district could access a grant to buy lower flowing toilets than 1.6, that would be the best way to spend her time, searching out for funds that actually saves water. I love kids. I had 4 of my own. This is great to get them involved, but you've got to go a step further in really addressing water conservation. This is all fluff by comparison to actually saving water. Every drop counts in this district. We've talked about it ad nauseum. We've spent millions of dollars trying to conserve. So let's carry that message forward by doing the work. You know, Renee was hired because she had grant writing experience. Let's get our hands on some of those dollars.
Lynette Tornotsky. I think investing in our kids is really important. And how do we ever learn anything? It's through the kids. I was in a group that did a presentation at Baywood School for a couple years, and everyone really agreed, and they did have a water segment in their teaching. It was the kids telling the parents to turn off the water when you're brushing your teeth. So I really feel, why can't we do both? I mean, I think Renee's time, she's already done it once. Let's just kind of keep the same template. Let's do that. But sure, go ahead and see if we can do some of these other things as well. But I think to not invest in our kids and make them understand how important it is to save water is just short-sighted. Thanks.
Any further board discussion?
No, I was going to make a motion, but I would like to point out that this isn't just the Los Osos CSD project. The Chamber of Commerce is involved in it. Golden State's involved in it, so it's not just us. I mean, but I don't know what motion you want to do here, but...
So before you, I just want to add one comment before you make the motion. But, I mean, I think training our kids to save water is important. I mean, if you bring it in the school and you say this is an important thing, then that'll benefit our community.
We're talking about this one.
Mm-hmm. So what motion do you want here? Do you want to start on the first motion, to start on the new 2019 conservation campaign with the Chamber of Commerce and Golden State Water, start working with the local schools? Is it that what you want? I mean, isn't this just direction to staff? I'm not sure.
Yeah, pretty much just direction to staff to start on the new 2019 conservation campaign with the Chamber of Commerce, start working with the local schools, but keep the original
scope of the project.
Yeah, there you go. But keep the original scope.
But I would add Golden State to that also.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes, I should.
So if we need a motion, I'll make the motion if direction's fine.
Yep.
Okay. If we don't need a motion.
I don't believe we need a motion on this. Direction's fine.
Thank you.
Okay.
One more thing.
One more thing.
We ready to move on? We can move on, right? Move on? Okay. So originally this was just going to be an update to the board. After the Finance Committee, we made some changes to the motion. And so I don't know, Marshall, do you want to talk about what happened at Finance Committee?
I'm trying to pull it up.
What the Finance Committee recommended?
Yeah, it was. There was a discussion, and I mean the staff report, I don't know if you have copies of it or seen it, but there was three options in there about how to deal with the general manager's time as far as that. And I think that the consensus of the FAC was that it would be treated as a contribution. So that, I mean, we had a long, extensive conversation, but it's just basically that it would be treated as a contribution, and then that also there was a discussion that we would identify not at time levels but other contributions that were made, and we would have that. And then lastly, but just that there would be an accounting of the funds in that account that we would see at the next meeting. So that was that was pretty much what we talked about.
Yes. Yeah, so we just happened to forget. We've forgotten the when we did the finances for the 2 months, we've been adding the bank statements, and at this time we didn't put them in there. So we'll make sure. So it's when we added this report, the bank statements are with this report, so they're there now. But we'll make sure that that we remember to put the bank statements with the finances.
But the recommendation was to treat Renee's time as a contribution.
As a contribution, yes. So, no. Board has any questions?
Yeah. I'm not in favor of that. For one, I think the only fund it can come out of, and this is part of the discussion that went on, we don't have money in Fund 100. We don't have a general checking account. We don't have that. So if it's a gift or whatever, it's got to come from one of our funds, and I don't think water's the right place for that because that's only part of the community. It would have to come from drainage because that serves the whole community. My feeling all along is that this is not a CSD project. It was a wastewater asset that should have gone to the county. I've made that clear from the beginning, but since we got involved, And I don't have a problem with it at this point. I think we should be reimbursed Renee's costs at the cost that we pay Grace for her services. That's less than $1,000. It's not going to prevent anyone from getting service through this program. We're going to have money left over in the program. Everyone who has applied has been accepted. And frankly, I'm not all that interested in continuing on after we assist the lateral hookups. I'm not looking for a program to continue here. And I'm not really ready to, I guess, make a recommendation for what we do with any funds left over. But I certainly would support the first motion here.
Just if I could make a clarification. When you brought up, and you were at the meeting, so
yes.
When you brought up that $824.98, remember that was only for the first phase of this, so the second phase is on top of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I just wanted to make
that
clear.
Well, either way, if we charge the program for our general manager staff time, no one is excluded from using the program. We're going to have money left over in it.
I think part of my issue is we're kind of creating extra hurdles for Renee to jump through that I don't think we need to. With her trying to use her own time, she's making calls after hours, and then accounting for her time is kind of a pain too. I don't mind if some money comes out of the fund, but to make her write down every call, there's got to be a way to streamline.
That's pretty standard accounting, though, in a government office setting. You work on something, you log your time, you have a list of pay codes, and you try and jam as much time into those pay codes. The last thing you want is a majority of your time in an undistributed pay code. That means I really can't justify or put a finger on exactly what I was doing for that time. So you want to account for your time, and I think it's fair that we're spending time on this program that really, I said it before, it was an asset that should have gone to the county. So I just don't think we're being unfair to anybody by having our costs reimbursed.
Well, what about if, and I'm just, we probably need to go to public comment, but what about if the time she spends during the workday she would be reimbursed for, but the time that she spends on her own outside of the workday, that's a contribution?
That's not in here. That's not in the county. My time at home is not right. Part of that $800.
So that's a contribution regardless.
That's already my contribution, yes.
I don't understand why there is any of that. You shouldn't be doing that.
Just wanted to keep the costs down.
I understand that. I understand that completely. But this is a program that was funded. It was funded by NEP. It's not lacking for funds. We're going to take care of everybody who wants to take a part in this.
All right, now we'll take public comment.
Julie Tacker, and the fund is the only place the money should come from to cover administrative costs. We've set sort of a bar. We know what amount of time Renee's putting in. Now with phase one, there'll be another number at phase two if you've been accounting for it. So perhaps it's part of your budget cycle in that you set a budget for administration, and that's just what's going to come out of that fund, no matter what, until you're not using the fund. I don't like it. That wasn't the intent of the donors, to see it frittered away through administration. But if really accounting for her time, which I don't think it's that difficult, if it's only a few hours, it shouldn't be that difficult. The larger question, and I've been here already tonight, is what is the best use of her time? This program isn't something this district does. We're not in the grant business. And trust me, any grant you get, you have to track your time. There's a line item for everybody's time and how much it costs to every grant. So, the accounting of this is minimal because it's only a few hours, it looks like, but it has to be accounted for. And I say you get out of this business as fast as you can, because she was hired to work for the district. You have other responsibilities, and the water conservation thing is water conservation, but it seems like that time could be used better. Rubber chips was never something we do, and now this is something we don't do. When is Renee going to do what the district does? There's way more time being spent on things you don't do than you should do. 45 hours at the park in a week. What went on over here? Who was running the store when she was at the park for 45 hours? That's just an example. When she takes a vacation, maybe that's what she did. I don't know how that works out, but get out of this business.
I'm kind of surprised that the Finance Advisory Committee was so in favor of just eating the cost somehow. I'm surprised how suddenly it's like, oh, we've got to nitpick over this amount of money. When, and I understand you're mad at the county doesn't jump when you want, but, you know, we spent $6 million of their money on a sewer over by the middle school that never went anywhere. And then there were hundreds of thousands of dollars that just went out the window after the recall. So this seems like such a piddly little nitpicky amount of money. We don't know what future use might be in store as a board. You haven't decided what to do if there's leftover money. There might be some other charitable thing that it could go to. But the people who gave the money really gave it to help people that were in need. And I think this nitpicking over Renee's amount of money is just silly.
Richard Margetson, it is a small amount. You can't take it from water. Water's an enterprise fund. You can't take it. I don't believe you can take it from drainage. I think that falls close to the same category. And we transferred money from water to drainage last year to do projects. I know we're only talking 800, maybe another 800, so we're talking 1,600. We're talking 1%. Less than 1% of the total dollar. I think all of the donors, if they found out that the administrative cost for funds disbursed in a grant was less than 1%, I think they'd be real happy. And Jerry Walsh and I were responsible for 1% of the donations to the low-income assistance fund. I have no problem with 1% administrative costs, but I don't think you have the ability to take it from another fund. You can't take it from administration because administration is funded by all of the other funds. We have no general fund like some other districts do where they have discretion to do these things. We have an administrative. This district was set up as a fund-based district. The administrative fund is fully and totally funded by all of the other funds. And by based on the description of all those other funds, I don't think you can do this. I think it needs to come from this fund. Like Chuck said, it's not going to keep anybody from getting their sewer lateral connection. And I think some of the original donors maybe had a different idea of how this money might have been spent to accommodate more people being involved. But that was robust discussion back in the day, and I don't think there was a consensus, but there were other ideas on what should happen with this money also. So that's my comment.
Further board discussion?
What do you think, Roy?
Took the words right out of my mouth.
I think it's pure policy. I don't think you're legally mandated to make the fund pay for any of your general manager's time, but I don't think you are forbidden from doing that either. So I don't think you're legally mandated to take either action. I tried to keep my nose out of policy. The only thing I would say on the policy part is that is a relatively small percentage amount towards administrative expenses. The county, for instance, when they get CDBG money, generally takes about 15% for administering the block grant money. But there's no legal requirement that you make the fund reimburse the district for your general manager's time on this.
Ask your question.
So if I look at the checking account here, there's a balance of $21,840. Is that the full amount?
No. We're only allowed to they didn't give us the full $165.
No, I understand. Yeah. What's the full amount right now? Ballpark?
ballpark of, we had 165 and we spent about 40 of it, so we're about 100 and something.
125,000. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's an enterprise fund, and we shouldn't be subsidizing, I hate to put it that way, this fund with the other enterprise funds. So I think we should just take the total. The total with the general manager's cost at $46.21 per hour, because that's what we're being billed, and then just.
I second that.
Do it. And then authorize the continued the expenditures to. Right, there'd be an ad. I guess what I'm saying is, as part of that fund, there'd be an admin account that you would be paid out of at your full amount, and that would include the, you know, the mailings and the copies and the stamps and the paper and all that stuff.
Stuff. Technical term.
So that's $924.41 for phase one. My motion is that we take that out of the low-income fund.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries 4-0, one absent.
Thank you. All right. So we didn't have any pulled consent items, any future agenda items. Closing board comments.
I will have a future agenda item, that comment letter back to the Basin Management Committee on the Cleith Harris groundwater characterization. We will have a letter to the board for consideration next meeting. And closing comments, December 8th, 10 to 7, needs and wishes. If you're coming down counting on a good hamburger, Big Jim Tea Catch will not be manning the grill this year. There will be an imposter standing in. So I'll do my best.
Okay, then.
I would like to piggyback on that, but I would also encourage people to come out for the parade, which is before that item. And then watch the parade, and then you just walk over to Knees and Wishes right after. And then you won't have to eat a hamburger because it's still morning.
Where? What's the rule that you can't have hamburger in the morning?
I'm just trying to get him off the hook.
Oh, no. It's more fun with him on the hook.
On the grill.
Much better. Are we done with our closing comments? All right.
One last thing. Because of the change in the Basin Management Committee meeting to the 14th, otherwise, it would have been the day before Thanksgiving. Correct. We have also changed the UAC meeting to the 14th of November. Thank you, Ann, for keeping us on track. 5:30 here. You don't want to miss it.
With that, I'm adjourning the meeting.
Just a second.